We started 6 years ago, probably in 2005, with the genesis of the idea.
What was the idea?
The idea was to build workforce housing, which is defined as housing for people who have jobs who make between $30,000 to $56,000 a year. After we got finished with all the meetings here in-house in the church, we then started meetings with the local civic associations, with the ANC groups, with all the ANC commissioners. And most of them were relatively supportive. But it turned out it was a handful of people, some of whom lived right across the property on Todd Place, who during the housing boom were flipping the houses to make money. These folks had no intention of living in the neighborhood more than it took them to make money and leave the property. And they were the ones who basically were very, very vocal against this because they, in their mind, to put it very bluntly, they didn't want black folks living across the street because that would cut down their property value. In fact, I was quoted in the Washington Post after one of the big meetings we had at McKinney High School saying, to put it very simply, if you get past all the nice code words of density and parking, the bottom line is about racism, greed, and classism. And I still stand by that. All that being said is that these same little group of people, they put out flyers door to door in the whole neighborhood saying this apartments the same wants to build are really going to be Section 8 housing and it's going to be a drug rehab center. There was no truth to any of that. The only truth was we were going to build something. After that, it was all absolute lies. They did this door to door over probably 1,000 households. So as you know, it's harder to put the truth behind a lie. So it took us months of more meetings and going door to door asking people to sign our petition and say, well, we don't want a drug rehab center. We're not building that. Well, that's what they said. No, we didn't put that out. And in addition to that, the same little group of people were very, very resourceful. They sent thousands of emails, but they also worked with one of the sisters over at Trinity College. Their goal was to get the convent, which is still standing now, right, where it always has been, to become historic. So she gave them all this information. Another convent by the same architect was made historic already over in Upper Northwest. So by extension, they made the St. Martin's Convent historic. The entire reason to do this was to block the project. They figured if the building was historic, you couldn't do anything to it. And so for that reason, we come to find out after it's a done deed that the convent is historic. But since we have good attorneys, our attorneys were able to cut a deal that if we move the building, we could still build on the property. A building, which is a pretty good-sized building, was put on huge wheels, moved actually
downhill.
Before it could be moved downhill, it had to be moved uphill to go, and we had to basically take this 20 feet of dirt I was talking about and bring it down to street level. So they had to take the convent and move it one direction by about 200 feet, prep the ground and move it the other way to where it's now standing. It was done by a company that's also moved the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and the Symphony Hall in Philadelphia. If these folks, who at this point had already moved out of the neighborhood, they realized they lost the battle, so they moved over to Arlington. But because of all of their greed, they cost the project another year's time, $1.5 million to move the convent. Plus, in the year, of course, the rates went up. So it cost more to get the money to finance the project. And in addition to that, because we have the convent now, where it resides at the very corner of T and Summit Northeast, we had to follow certain guidelines to keep the convent historic, which meant that there's a 10-foot glass partition on each side of it so you can see it's a separate building. We could build new apartments inside of the building, which you can't do anything to the outside superstructure. And in addition, you can't build on top of it. And so they had to change, for again, the blueprint of the building. We originally wanted to build a regular kind of rectangular apartment house, which is the cheapest to build, the most efficient. You get more people to live in it. So it cost us basically 16 to 18 apartments that we would have had as part of the building structure plan that had to be taken out because you couldn't just have the building all of a sudden go from four stories to two stories, which is what the convent is. The Summit of St. Martin's, it has 178 units, 50 are set aside for formerly homeless folks who live there. The formerly homeless units pay $500 a month rent. The other pay 60% of the AMI, the average median income, which means the other units, about another 130-something, are paying about $1,000 to $1,100, $1,150 a month. Once you get qualified to move in, even if you get a raise or a better job, you're still able to stay there. So you don't go on and kind of price out. they built two interior courtyards. The open, our first idea was to build an open courtyard to the street. We realized after good feedback from the neighborhood that wouldn't be good because the drug boys would take it over to use as their place to sell drugs. So there's a secure building with two gorgeously landscaped interior courtyards. There's a beautiful play area for children with all the, you know, safe play swings and teeter-totters. Inside, it has all the amenities of a building up on Connecticut Avenue Northwest. The good news and bad news is we were the largest nonprofit housing development in D.C. The good news, because we did it. The bad news is there was no competition. I mean, there was no other place that did it that big, which is kind of sad that, you know, there's so little housing in that range of housing.